In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode contains distressing themes, profanity, and descriptions of sexual violence. This podcast is intended for a mature audience. Listener caution is advised. The Probation Service and parole boards are meant to safeguard our communities. A parole board bears the crucial responsibility of ensuring that people who pose a threat to society remain securely confined behind prison walls. Yet the delicate balance between rehabilitation and public safety is no easy feat. A plan for the convicted is outlined in probation hearings, where a thorough evaluation is conducted to assess the prisoner's suitability for release. Various factors are considered during this process, including prior criminal history, risk of reoffending, and behavior while incarcerated. Furthermore, judges rely on accurate reports from the probation service to ensure all the facts are available when determining if someone should face a suspended sentence or further time behind bars. However, no organization or independent body is immune to errors or shortcomings. If they fail in their duty, then dangerous people can be released straight into the path of innocent victims.
From assessment to the court report to his supervision in the community, the quality of that work by probation was of an unacceptable standard and well below what was required and what the public, I think, have a right to expect.
She wasn't even consulted whether he was allowed to be bailed at her address.
The level of force and violence that was carried out in these attacks was carried out with one intention, and that was to take the lives of those within the premises.
When he found them, he hit them with such force, their skulls were smashed.
It could have quite easily been prevented, I think. The entire system's broken, really broken.
So many people's lives were wrecked. Just because someone could do their job properly.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 17 of They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. Terry Harris was 17 when she moved to Sheffield from the East End of London. The move was made under difficult circumstances. Terry's mother, Angela Smith, and father, Lawrence Harris, had separated. Angela and Lawrence loved their daughter very much and spent as much time with her as possible. Terry, who was an only child, stayed with her mother, but travelled south at weekends to see her father, who was living in Essex. There was a strong bond between mother and daughter, and they enjoyed being in each other's company as they chatted for hours on end. In her early 20s, Terry Harris met Royal Mail employee Jason Bennett, and the two instantly clicked. Soon after, when Terry was 22, the couple became parents to a baby boy in 2007. They named their firstborn John Paul, and 2 years later they welcomed a second child, a daughter named Lacey. As the eldest, their son John was more serious, often seeming to be in deep thought. He was also very affectionate and compassionate, with his father Jason saying that John wouldn't hurt a fly. Lacey had a different personality from her brother, liking what was referred to as traditional girly things. She enjoyed putting on dance shows for her family. Despite their differences, the children did have something in common which they inherited from their mother, a caring nature. John freely told his family how much he loved them. Lacey also had a big heart and wanted to raise money for charity. Their parents, Terry and Jason, remained together for 14 years, raising the children as best they could. However, cracks in their relationship began to appear. Their commitment as parents never wavered, even when Terry and Jason separated on amicable terms. Terry Harris took a nerve-wracking leap after almost a decade and a half in a committed partnership. She made an online dating account in early 2020, where she connected with Damian Bendel. Their initial online exchanges evolved into a decision to meet in person. Later that year, Terry and her children relocated from Woodhouse in Sheffield to a property on Chandos Crescent in Killamarsh, North Derbyshire. The modest, semi-detached, pebble-dashed home was rented from North East Derbyshire District Council. There was a small patch of grass at the front of the property, with a large tree looming higher than the top bedroom window. Not long after the family settled in, Damian Bendel joined them, leaving his home in Swindon, Wiltshire, to be with Terry and her children, John and Lacey. Terry was hardworking, juggling childcare with a job she loved as a care worker. She was a devoted mother, centering her entire life around John and Lacey, who always came first. One of Terry's friends recalled, "She lived for her children. They were her life. It's all she would ever talk about." During the weekends, Terry spent her time baking, drawing, and enjoying day trips with John and Lacey. Birthdays held a special place in Terry's heart. She spared no expense in arranging the perfect day for the children. 11-year-old Lacey earned the title of TikTok Queen, spending countless hours scrolling through videos. Her favourite pastime was watching dance videos on the app and then recreating the dances at home while recording them on her mobile phone. She was described as a girly girl, although by the summer of 2021 she had developed an interest in Manchester City Football Club. Her father Jason joked that her new obsession stemmed from her crush on one of the players, Jack Grealish. Lacey's bedroom walls were covered with pictures of him. In stark contrast to his sister, 13-year-old John was a fervent supporter of Sheffield Wednesday Football Club and had ambitions of becoming an engineer. Jason Bennett noted that with each passing day, John grew more and more like his father. Jason even referred to his son as his mini-me, describing him as affectionate, spirited, humorous, and deeply passionate. Despite his young age, John always saw the best in people. Jason said of John, Behind his tough exterior, he was the most loving son you could wish for. His love for his mum was amazing. He just wanted everyone to be happy. It was Saturday, September 18th, 2021. Lacey was spending the day with her best friend Connie Gent, who was also 11 years old. The two girls had similar personalities. Describing her daughter, Kerry Shelton later said, "Connie had an amazing imagination and was always ready to put on a show, especially at Christmas when she would write plays to act out with her brothers and sister. At birthdays, Halloween, or at any given chance, Connie would be organising, making or baking. She always made things so special." Before that weekend together, Lacey and Connie planned a charity fundraiser for cancer research. The 11-year-olds diligently created posters and put up a flyer on a climbing frame in a nearby park. That Saturday afternoon, the friends set up a table, stocking it with sweets and various items to make money for charity. Terry Harris shared the news on a local forum, explaining that Lacey and Connie had been inspired by a local superstore worker who was battling cancer. The charity drive proved to be a significant success, as community members responded to Terry's post by expressing their support for the girls and praising their admirable efforts. Lacey and Connie had recently begun their first year at Sheffield's Outwood Academy City Secondary School, having previously attended the same primary school. Both girls were known for being friendly, while Lacey's brother John, who was at the same school, was described by his classmates as popular and polite. Connie Gent lived in Woodhouse, Sheffield, and she and Lacey had forged a deep bond over their shared passion for TikTok and football. Connie's father, Charlie, recollected, "Lacey was her best friend. All she ever did was talk about her when she came to stay at mine." Charlie Gent praised Connie as one of the most delightful girls anyone could encounter. Although Charlie and Kerry Shelton, Connie's mother, were separated, they were both close to their daughter. Following the successful fundraiser on that Saturday afternoon, Connie decided to stay at Lacey's for the second night in a row. The girls were eager to spend more time together before returning to school on Monday. Connie called her mother to ask if it was okay if she didn't come home that night, and she was granted permission for an additional night's stay. Shortly before 7:30 a.m. the following day, a distressing phone call was made to the emergency services.
Basically, I need the police and the ambulance and that, because I've killed four people.
Okay, just hold the line. Bear with me.
The call was made by Terry Harris's partner, Damien Bendel. He had provided the address on Chandos Crescent where the family lived. Officers from the Derbyshire Constabulary scrambled to the property. They were surprised to see Bendel patiently waiting for their arrival. As they drew closer, officers could see that he was bleeding.
Mate, have you got anything on you that you shouldn't have?
No, there's no weapons or nothing.
Right, do you just want to undo your coat? Have you armed yourself?
Yeah.
You have?
Have you stabbed yourself, mate?
I can see it, see blood on your hands.
Yeah.
Anywhere else?
Just my chest, 4 inches in with a bread knife.
Can we have a look?
And one on the stomach. I bled quite.
Alright, do you want to say?
Can we go down?
No, just stay there.
I just don't want to be in front of everyone.
Alright, just around the corner.
Bendel told them that he had stabbed himself. With caution, officers led him around the side of the house as he unbuttoned his coat to reveal his injuries.
All right, stand here. See you.
Right. So we're 12. I know what's going to happen to you now, mate.
Well, I know it's going to happen. We're just going to prison, obviously, again.
Why? What have you done? Have you done something to anyone else?
Yeah.
What have you done?
I've murdered four people.
Damien Bendall told officers about the murders. At first, they weren't sure if there was any weight to his claim. They thought he may have been under the influence of drugs and had only harmed himself.
He's been calm and compliant, but he's got some stab wounds to his chest. They're not oozing blood, but he's saying that his family are inside and that he believes he has murdered them.
While one officer conversed with Bendall outside, the other ventured inside the property. His eyes were drawn to bloodstains on the floor and walls. Walking into the living room, the officer discovered what looked like brain matter on the floor. Continuing the search, he entered the master bedroom, where he found the motionless bodies of Terry Harris and her daughter Lacey Bennett. Terry lay on the floor, surrounded by blood, while Lacey was sprawled across the bed. The officer's growing horror steadily increased as he entered Lacey's bedroom and discovered the lifeless body of Connie Gent. In the bathroom, he saw the body of John Bennett, who was also dead. All four victims had suffered brutal attacks with a claw hammer. The focus of the violence was directed towards their heads and upper bodies. Outside, Damien Bendall was placed in handcuffs.
Damien, it's 0747 hours. I'm arresting you on suspicion of murder. You don't have to say anything, but it may harm your defence. Do not mention when questioned, something later lay on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence. Your arrest is necessary to protect you from harm, to prevent your disappearance, for a prompt and effective investigation. Okay? We're going to get you up. We're going to put you in the back of the van. Stand up.
One of the officers then asked Bendall what he had done. In a calm tone, Bendall replied, "I don't know. I blanked out. It's like I was, outside my body, but looking in." Damien Bendall was transported to a hospital to treat his self-inflicted injuries, while the investigation at the family home got underway. Crime scene tape spanned the property. A blue and white tent was erected outside. A crowd of onlookers gathered as Chief Constable Rachel Swan held a press conference.
"Whilst understandably worrying and upsetting, this is believed to be an isolated incident in which those involved were known to one another and nobody else has been sought in connection with the deaths. The force did not have any prior contact with those involved. The man officers arrested at the scene, a 31-year-old from Killamarsh, remains in police custody on suspicion of the murders of Terry, Lacey, John Paul and Connie. A team of detectives has been working through the night to understand what led to their deaths. And I would urge anyone with any information to come forward."
Damien Bendall's wounds were only superficial, and after being treated at the hospital, he was released several hours later. He was immediately transported to the police station to be interrogated. Straight away, Bendall admitted that he had killed five people. The detectives were perplexed. They had only come across four bodies inside the property. They wondered if there was another they had somehow missed. Bendall then explained that Terry had been pregnant with his child. She was in the early stages of pregnancy and had only confided this information to a couple of friends. Bendall continued in his confession, telling the detectives, "The whole house is covered in claret. I used a hammer. I didn't realise what I did until I walked into my room and saw my missus and my daughter. But you don't usually get four murders in Killamarsh, do you? Well, five murders, because my missus was having a baby." Bendel explained that on the night of the killings, he had been on a cocaine binge. However, he could not provide any reason for why he committed the murders. After the massacre, Bendel took John's Xbox and got a taxi into Sheffield. He sold the game console for drugs. During the taxi ride, Bendel had made small talk with the driver, telling him he had just been chilling with the family. The bodies of Terry Harris, her children John and Lacey, and Lacey's friend Connie were carefully removed from the property on Chandos Crescent. Following an examination by a Home Office pathologist, it was confirmed that Bendel was telling the truth. Terry was indeed pregnant. A post-mortem showed that she had been struck on the head with a claw hammer at least 9 times. Lacey had died as a result of head injuries and pressure to the neck, indicating she had also been strangled. Her skull had been caved in. She suffered a severe brain injury and hemorrhaging to her eyes and face. The pathologist estimated that Lacey had been alive between 30 to 60 minutes after receiving the injuries. As for Connie and John, both had died from multiple blunt force injuries to the back of their heads. News of the horrifying murders spread rapidly. On social media, tributes to the four victims took center stage as the country grappled with the incomprehensible brutality of the killings. Meanwhile, John and Lacey's father, Jason, was holidaying in Devon when he received the devastating news. Upon his return home, he immediately headed to Chandos Crescent, where he placed a floral tribute outside the property. A spontaneous makeshift memorial had already begun to take shape near the tree in the front garden. In a heartfelt message to his daughter, Jason wrote, "To Lacey, my TikTok queen, lost without you. Look after your big brother and don't wind him up." In a message to his son, Jason had written, "To John, my beautiful son, keep your kind heart shining while the angels are looking after you for me." Jason then returned home alone to share his grief and confusion on social media. "I didn't protect my beautiful babies enough from the monsters," he wrote. "Now they have been suddenly taken away from me." Connie's father, Charlie, also took to social media to express his heartache. "I can't even put into words how to feel or react right now. I have to live with the fact I was helpless to protect her and she's gone."
She was special. She could have been anything she wanted to be. I'd rather it be me than her. Yeah, she got a whole life ahead of it. The last thing you think of in it when, like, your daughter's sleeping out, you're having a good time, aren't they? Not a million way round, you could try and change it or change the events leading up to it. Place blame everywhere you want, but now I'm going to miss my baby girl.
Both Jason Bennett and Charlie Gent had the horrendous task of identifying their children in the mortuary. Terry's mother, Angela Smith, also saw the bodies of her daughter and grandchildren. She spoke of being in total disbelief as she sat between the coffins. The evening after Damien Bendel's arrest, the community came together at a local park in Killamarsh to remember the four victims. They left candles, flowers, teddy bears and other trinkets as symbols of remembrance. Mourners were led in prayer by Pastor David Taylor of Killamarsh Church.
"I'm not enjoying today. It's a very sad day. But it's absolutely incredible that so many people have joined us tonight. What do you say at a time like this? It is so difficult. I can't give you any answers. I don't have the answers. But each one of you is here to remember four people who are no longer with us. And it is a day that we'll all remember. Because this doesn't happen in Killamarsh, but it has.
A fundraiser was set up to help the families pay for the upcoming funerals. Within days, it had already reached £30,000. As the community rallied together, the investigative process swiftly commenced. Although the killer had been apprehended, detectives faced the task of unravelling the motive and piecing together the events leading up to the tragic murders. It was headed by Detective Chief Inspector Sally Blakelock, who said, "Our thoughts remain with the families of Terry, John Paul, Lacey and Connie, as well as the communities that have been affected by this most tragic of incidents. A large scene remains in place on Chandos Crescent, and local residents will see an increased police presence in the area over the coming days, including patrols by officers in the local area." DCI Blakelock urged anyone who had been near Chandos Crescent between 6 p.m. on Saturday and 7 a.m. on Sunday to come forward with any information. She also appealed to local residents to review their home security footage, as the murder weapon was still being sought. It was speculated that Bendel might have discarded it while purchasing drugs. Detectives diligently searched parkland and drains in the vicinity. 3 days following Bendel's arrest, he made a remote appearance via video link at Southern Derbyshire Magistrates Court. During these proceedings, he was charged with 4 counts of murder.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
An inquiry into Damien Bendall revealed a lengthy criminal history spanning a decade. In 2004, at the age of 13, he was charged with vandalism. In 2010, Bendall received a caution for possessing cocaine. And the following year he found himself in police custody for a violent robbery. After serving just 1 year for this offence, he was granted early release on home detention curfew and lived with his mother. In 2015, he was sentenced to 3 years for attempted robbery whilst armed with a knife. The subsequent year he committed grievous bodily harm and 2 counts of assault causing actual bodily harm against 2 prison officers. Shortly after his early release, Bendall was sentenced to another 30 months in 2017 for his attacks on prison staff. In 2018, while on license, he was recalled to prison due to a pattern of poor behaviour, including violating curfew and consuming alcohol. Despite being deemed unsuitable for release in June 2019, he completed his sentence 2 months later and was a free man. According to those who knew him in his hometown of Swindon, Damien Bendall appeared to be trying to emulate a notorious relative who was never publicly identified. Someone close to the family said, "He always wanted to be like him, and always fell short because the relative was far worse. He was open about it, and would say he wanted to be a bad boy." Many locals saw Bendall as deeply disturbed. Please note the next sentence refers to animal cruelty. Skip ahead 20 seconds to avoid the detail. Bendall allegedly enjoyed torturing kittens and had once bragged about putting down a sick dog by beating it to death with a brick so a friend could avoid paying any veterinary bills. The most recent crime that Bendall was connected to occurred in May 2020. He randomly poured petrol over a BMW in the street and set fire to the vehicle. Bendall was charged with arson, but in June 2021, following a report from a member of the court services team in the National Probation Service, Bendall escaped any time behind bars when he was handed a 24-month suspended sentence. This sentence included 175 hours of unpaid work, a 5-month curfew, a 20-day rehabilitation activity requirement, and a 6-month alcohol treatment program. At the time, Bendall was living with Terry Harris and her 2 children, John and Lacey, on Chandos Crescent in Killamarsh, and he was allowed to return there after listing the property as his home address. The relationship between Damien Bendall and Terry Harris had always been marred by Bendall's substance abuse, unstable nature and propensity for violence. This only worsened when Bendall was under the influence of drugs. Throughout their time together, Bendall exhibited controlling behaviour towards Terry, and he took a strange pride in having a criminal record. Terry's friends often described Bendall as a wannabe gangster, and she told them they were trying to start a family just a month after dating. Terry's friends expressed concern for her well-being. While Terry held down a job as a care worker, Bendall remained unemployed. to finance his constant consumption of cannabis, cocaine, morphine, and meth, he resorted to selling Terry's possessions, including her laptop and washing machine. Bendel manipulated her into contributing to his drug addiction, even convincing her to borrow money from friends and family, which he subsequently squandered on drugs. Initially, when Terry and her children relocated to Chandos Crescent, she chose not to disclose her new address to Bendel. However, she eventually relented, and he moved in after receiving a suspended sentence for the arson conviction. The violent outbursts continued at Chandos Crescent, and there were signs things were getting worse. On one occasion, Terry asked her mother Angela for paint to repair a door that Bendel had destroyed. This information deeply disturbed Angela, prompting her to tell Terry to end the relationship with Bendel. Angela feared Bendel posed a genuine threat to Terry's safety. Terry had even expressed her readiness to end the relationship once Bendel's suspended sentence expired. Terry explained to her mother that since her home was listed as Bendel's residence under part of his license conditions, she felt he had nowhere else to go. As the investigation continued, the community was determined to offer support to the grieving families. In a warming tribute, Sheffield Wednesday football players donned black armbands during their next match against Ipswich Town. A group of John Bennett's friends who had been close since primary school initiated a fundraising campaign to honour the memory of the victims. Connie Gent's sister also joined in this heartfelt effort. Their aim was to raise sufficient funds for two meaningful tributes: a memorial bench at their school and a luminous snowflake outside Sheffield Children's Hospital, which would light up the night sky. John's friends initially set a target of £1,500, but within hours their campaign had reached over £4,000, underscoring the profound impact of the case. Meanwhile, the families were tasked with arranging the funerals of Terry, John, Lacey, and Connie. John and Lacey's father, Jason, posted on Facebook asking mourners to learn the words to the song Never Enough from The Greatest Showman. He wrote, "Me and my babies always used to sing a certain song in our car and belt it out like nothing else matters. I'm trying to stay strong. And while I'm carrying both my babies on my shoulders, I'm determined to belt the song they love out loud as if they were in our car. Sing along if you like. Give me hope and strength and celebrate my beautiful, happy babies." Terry Harris's funeral was the first to take place on October 20th at St Giles Church. Although the service was closed to the general public, the speaker was placed outside the church to allow the community to pay their respects. In lieu of flowers, the family requested donations for a cancer charity, reflecting Terry's compassionate spirit. Terry's West Ham United-themed casket was solemnly escorted into the church, accompanied by her favourite song, Supermarket Flowers by Ed Sheeran. During the service, Terry was remembered as a generous woman who always had a smile on her face, despite her troubles at home with Bendel. Reverend Canon Helen Guest said, "She loved her children. She was an amazing mum. She had such a big, generous heart. She was a polite, caring soul with a heart of gold." The atmosphere outside the church was somber as hundreds of people lined the streets. Following the service, Terry's loved ones released a pair of white doves, followed by a collection of blue and pink balloons. John and Lacey Bennett were laid to rest in a closed service 3 days later, so their family could grieve privately. Connie Jen's funeral took place on October 28th, and her father Charlie announced it would be open to the public. He invited everybody to attend, wanting to ensure Connie got the send-off she deserved. Mourners came out in their hundreds, making their way to Hutcliffe Wood Crematorium in Sheffield. The following month, more disturbing details were revealed about the killings. While Damien Bendall had already been charged with 4 counts of murder, he was hit with another charge. During 11-year-old Lacey's post-mortem, it was discovered that she had been raped before she died. By this stage in the investigation, detectives had pieced together Bendall's movements on the night of the murders. At some point after 9:40 p.m., the children were preparing to go to bed. At the same time, Bendall tried contacting his drug dealer to buy cocaine. Moments later, he grabbed a claw hammer and systematically went from room to room looking for each victim. Terry was attacked and killed in the master bedroom, while John was struck and killed in the bathroom. It appeared as though he was about to get into the shower when Bendall attacked him from behind. Connie was in Lacey's bedroom when she was set upon by Bendall. As for Lacey, she was in the living room. Bendall also struck her in the head with the claw hammer, but she did not die straight away. Bendall placed her on the bed in the master bedroom, where Lacey's mother lay dead on the floor. He then positioned a mirror so that he could see what he was going to do next. All 4 of the victims had sustained defensive-type injuries, indicating they had fought for their lives. Although no one but Bendall knows precisely what happened that night, he stayed in the property with the 4 dead bodies. Evidence suggests that Lacey was raped twice. At around 6 a.m. the following day, Bendall put John's Xbox in a carrier bag and ordered a taxi to Sheffield. He was dropped off in the Woodhouse area, where he exchanged the Xbox for cocaine. Bendall then returned home, took Connie's mobile phone and called 999. Following a psychological examination, in March 2022, it was determined that Damien Bendall was fit to stand trial on multiple counts of murder. However, the legal proceedings were delayed as his counsel, Vanessa Marshall KC, successfully argued for additional medical assessments to be conducted. The barrister argued that Bendall's judgment had been compromised by psychological factors at the time of the murders. While the trial was initially set for October 2022, a significant turn of events occurred on October 4th. Bendall admitted to causing the deaths of Terry Harris, John and Lacey Bennett, and Connie Gent, but contested the charge of murder, instead pleading guilty to manslaughter. During these proceedings, Mr. Justice Sweeney was informed by Bendall's defence team that ongoing tests were being carried out. Evidently, they were pursuing an argument of diminished responsibility, but awaited the test results before proceeding. Despite Bendall admitting manslaughter, he would still face trial for murder. Both the prosecution and the defence prepared as they awaited further developments. On December 21, 2022, Damien Bendall returned to court, but this time he pleaded guilty to 4 charges of murder and the rape of a child under the age of 13. During the proceedings, it was revealed that the medical tests had conclusively determined that Bendall was not psychologically impaired at the time of the killings. Bendall had attempted to attribute his actions to a brain injury, but neurological tests also disproved this claim. Ultimately, he only pleaded guilty after all medical explanations had been ruled out. Vanessa Marshall Casey told the court that her client maintained he had no recollection of the attacks and said his actions remained largely inexplicable. She further claimed that Bendall had never shown any prior sexual interest in children, stating, "There is genuine remorse for his actions and the irreparable pain and devastation he has caused to everyone that's been affected by these terrible events." Prior to Damien Bendall being sentenced, statements were presented by the victim's loved ones, shedding light on their grief and heartache. Connie Gent's father, Charlie, emotionally expressed how the events had torn his life apart. "I feel totally lost with the pain and stress this has caused me," he said. "I feel like I have become a lost soul trying to navigate my way through life without her. The whole crime is totally senseless, and there can be no justification for the brutality he used. The man who carried out the crimes can only be described as truly evil." Charlie Gent went on to explain that since his daughter's murder, he had grappled with his mental health and would spend the rest of his life haunted by the brutal manner in which Connie was killed. Terry Harris's mother, Angela Smith, struggled to hold back her emotions as she described how when her grandson John was younger, he spoke about being afraid of monsters. "I would tell him there's no such thing as monsters," Angela said. "How wrong I was." Angela went on to say that she often had nightmares about Bendall creeping through the home in search of the children. Clutching a tissue, she expressed her profound grief. "I struggle to explain to my elderly parents what happened. I don't know myself, but I must accept I may never know, as the only person who does is Bendall. Terry was my only child. I will never have any other children or grandchildren. They were the most precious things in my life. I would give anything to be able to spend a moment with them." Next to speak was Jason Bennett, the father of John and Lacey. He conveyed to the courtroom the perpetual nightmare in which he lived, stating, "I cannot comprehend how someone could take so many innocent lives. It makes no sense at all." Jason disclosed that he found it impossible to envision a future. Without the support of his partner, he might have been dead as well. A profound sense of anguish shadowed his face as he went on to say, "Occasionally, I do become distracted by what has happened. My mind goes back to the trauma of how they died." After the victim personal statements were read to the court, Damien Bendall learned his fate. Mr. Justice Sweeney addressed the defendant and said, "It is accepted the seriousness of your offence is so exceptionally high the court must make a whole life order. You are now age 32 and have a significant background of violent offending, including robbery. As the prosecution have said, you carried out brutal, vicious, and cruel attacks on a defenseless woman and three young children. Whole life orders are the most severe penalties that judges in the United Kingdom can impose and are exceedingly rare. Bendall received a life sentence for the murders and a second life sentence for the rape of Lacey Bennett. Mr. Justice Sweeney explained that it was committed in the grossest breach of mistrust as Lacey's life slipped away. He also said that Bendel's offending had gone way beyond those envisaged by the court's sentencing guidelines. Outside of court, Detective Inspector Mark Shaw described how the level of force and violence used in the attacks highlighted they were carried out with one intention, to end the lives of the victims. The officer also explained that it was impossible to comprehend the nature of the further sex attack on Lacey.
The families of each of the victims have had to endure more than 15 months of agony and heartache. But at least today they'll provide some reassurance that Bendel won't be in a position to cause further harm.
How would you describe Bendel?
As a monster, as a callous monster here who brought about the trust of a family, and he shattered that in a matter of a few minutes.
The admission of guilt did little to address the lingering uncertainties surrounding the case. The motive behind the four murders was still a question mark. One theory suggests that Damien Bendel was angry upon learning that Terry Harris was pregnant. Others considered that in his illogical mind, Bendel suspected that he was not the father. Contrary to these speculations, those familiar with Bendel asserted that he had in fact been eagerly anticipating the prospect of becoming a father. Furthermore, post-mortem paternity tests conclusively confirmed that he was indeed the biological father of the unborn child. Bendel's defense team attempted to explain his actions by attributing them to a drug-induced rage. Still, they failed to clarify the precise catalyst for his horrific deeds. His defense counsel suggested that his mental state might have been compromised due to the combination of prescribed medication for seizures with cocaine and alcohol. The pretrial assessments had confirmed that Bendel did not suffer from any psychological impairments, and his actions were not attributable to a brain injury. Bendel openly acknowledged his propensity for violent outbursts, stating that he typically issued three warnings before telling people they were fucked. However, this admission still fell short of explaining the extent of violence he committed that night at the family home. No arguments preceded the murders, and Bendel admitted that he had killed three people he claimed to have loved, Terry, John, and Lacey. Reportedly, although Terry never explicitly mentioned being attacked during her time with Bendel, according to outsiders who observed the situation, the case appeared to exhibit all the signs of domestic violence and abuse. So where are we now? Following the sentencing, it was revealed that a formal review would be conducted to investigate the probation service and how it was operating at the time of the murders. It was noted the probation officer responsible for assessing Damien Bendel's case during his arson sentencing had been dismissed from their position. They were found guilty of gross misconduct for incorrectly categorising Bendel as a medium-risk offender instead of high-risk. Another probation officer faced misconduct charges for assigning Bendel's case to a trainee. Former Justice Secretary Sir Robert Buckland commented on this matter, saying, "I think we have to acknowledge that such an error is just an appalling failure. The ministry has to be open and transparent as possible about why it happened, and most importantly, to make sure the risk of that happening again is kept to a minimum, if not eliminated. Frankly, there should be processes in place that means various thresholds and tests would be met before that sort of fundamental mistake could be made." On reflection, Damien Bendel should have still been in prison at the time of the murders, because the pre-sentencing report that led to his suspended sentence and return to Terry's home did not accurately reflect his level of risk. During the sentencing for the arson conviction, the judge received a pre-sentence report that lacked essential details about Bendel's extensive criminal history. The judge had even described the arson as an isolated incident and hailed Bendel's brave decision to move from Swindon to start afresh with Terry, John and Lacey in Killamarsh. However, the true situation was far more disturbing. Bendel had continued to abuse drugs and manipulate and mistreat Terry in her own home. Ultimately, the review uncovered a series of failures. It concluded that the probation service's assessment and management of Bendel fell far below acceptable standards at every stage. Additionally, it was revealed that one of Bendel's ex-partners had made domestic abuse allegations against him. The police had also forwarded concerns a year before the murders regarding Bendel's inappropriate association with a vulnerable 16-year-old girl living in foster care. The intelligence regarding the potential risk of serious sexual harm to young girls was not adequately explored or documented. Consequently, Bendel was allowed to live with Terry, who had a young daughter. Furthermore, he had exhibited extreme right-wing views and had a history of violence while incarcerated. He was a high-ranking member of the white supremacist group, the Aryan Brotherhood, and had two Nazi-inspired tattoos. None of this was disclosed to the judge when Bendel received a suspended sentence. In total, there were 25 missed chances for Terry, John, Lacey and Connie to be saved. Terry's mother, Angela Smith, had voiced her concerns about her daughter and grandchildren. However, it was impossible to obtain information about Bendel's criminal history by simply inquiring. Angela launched a campaign in tribute to her daughter called Terry's Fight, calling for relatives to more easily access information on partners they are concerned about.
My daughter was the 80th person to be killed in 2021 by a violent partner. We can't keep losing that kind of amount of women every year to domestic violence. This is our love for her. And if we can extend that and help anybody else to get out of an abusive relationship, then it's just a normal family. And if it can happen to us, it can happen to anybody.
In July 2023, the property on Chandos Crescent in Killamarsh was demolished. A plaque on a cherry tree in the garden stands as the only physical reminder that the murders took place. Thank you for listening, and special thanks to our patrons for their support. For more information on this episode, please see the show notes or visit our website, theywalkamonguspodcast.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.